Thank you so much for coming to my website. This is Pastor John in Los Angeles, California. Welcome to Into the Word, Biblical Counseling. That's right, Biblical Counseling. But you're saying, Pastor John, I haven't heard you mention too many scriptures lately. Okay, I got a scripture for you. You want a scripture? Okay, how about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1? Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, let me give some clarification since we want exposition, right? Don't submit to the pastor. No, don't submit to the Bible study leader. You got a husband in the house? You got a man there in the house? Wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, in other words, if your husband is not a Christian, if your husband is not going to church, if your husband does not listen to the pastor, they, without a word, in other words, wives, keep your mouth shut. Shut up. See, I've been hearing a lot of women don't like me. But with over 191,000 hits on the website, somebody's liking it. But without a word, ladies, that means shut up. These husbands may be won by the conduct of their wives. Thank you for joining us for Marriage Counseling. Music by my good friend Johnny Blair from an album called Fire. Thank you, Johnny, for that wonderful music as we look at marriage counseling. You know, I've been accused of not giving enough Bible in these marriage counseling sessions. People want some biblical exposition. I can exegete the verse just as good as any other expositor. Other people say to me, well, John, why do you play so much secular music when you're giving this marriage counseling series? Well, I'm just trying to keep it real. I want to thank Kyra Barr for the great message that she called and left me. And if any of you have any negative messages that you'd like to leave about the series, the number is area code 323-293-7335. That's the number to the office. Call and leave me a telephonic message. And I'll put it up even if it's negative, because everybody doesn't have to agree with the biblical accommodations. Now, the most common mistakes that women make. Now, I could give you a whole list of scriptures. Bible, Bible, Bible. Tell a guy to run it out of your ears. But you know what I do? I am, oh, come on. What can I call myself? I don't want to, let me turn this fan down, because I know it's coming out over the, there we go. What would I call myself? I guess I call myself a realist. I was a speaking with a Jehovah Witness today that came down the street in the neighborhood, and I was sharing with the Jehovah Witness that I don't believe in religion. I don't believe in doing what other evangelicals tell me I should do. I believe that if I am sensitive to God and obeying God and want wholesome marriages to take place in the Christian community, that I have to listen to God, and I'm not listening to the leading evangelical that's just going to tell me, all you need to do is give them Bible, Bible, Bible. All right, I can give them Bible. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if they do not obey the word, they, that is your husband, without a word, keep your mouth shut, may be won by the conduct of your lives. Here's the question. Are the Christian women going to shut up, or are they still talking back to their husbands? Now, you, Mr. Exegete, need to tell them in plain English, shut up. What did he answer you? Did he answer you one time? That should be sufficient. Now, why is that important? Since we want to do exegesis, look at verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. It says, when they observe, see, the husband is looking to observe something. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, and this word accompanied, it should read like this. When they observe your chaste conduct by fear. In other words, the fear of the Lord. Let's talk about this a little bit before we even get into these other categories right here, because I think it's important for us to go there. Chaste and fear. The purity of life with reverence for God is what the unsaved husband or the unspiritual husband should observe consistently in the Christian woman. I was speaking with a brother that used to go to our fellowship, and he said that his wife wasn't happy in our fellowship because the older women would not speak to the younger women the way the older women do in the fellowship that she goes to. That is a problem that we had. The older women would not address the younger women. At Anselm, the older women would get frustrated with the younger women because they would, what? Christianity is not a cake walk. I'm telling people, do you know how long I've been doing marriage counseling, trying to hold marriages together? Got a young lady that's married to a guy. Her name was Michelle Cooper. She used to attend our fellowship. Her mother, Freddie, listens to the webcast often and wants me to keep them up constantly. I'll try to keep as many of them up as I possibly can. I'm running out of space. But I know that these youngsters are still listening to this. There are so many people, man, with over 191,000 hits on my website. Somebody is listening. Don't tell me that somebody is not listening. I'm working on the 15th hour. Somebody is listening. Now, I'm going to tell you people, I can break down this stuff into the Greek and all of that. But you know what? I think that you've had so much of that, you've gone banana fruitcakes nuts. Let me give it to you in the real, in the raw, because that's what God's going to judge you by. God's not going to judge you by some doctor of theology's exegesis of the text. He's not going to judge you by that. And too often I hear, man, listen, if you guys get an inkling to contact me to listen to John Piper or John MacArthur or another person named John Coleman about how they handle the text, please don't do that to me. I know Dr. MacArthur personally. I have nothing against the guy and everything, but you know what? I also know this about his church. He prefers black people go to black churches and not to his. Now, if you don't believe that's true, ask John Piper and see what John Piper would tell you about what he knows, what I'm telling you the truth. See, so don't tell me about these evangelicals. Don't be, you know, name dropping, mentioning names to me, because I know these dudes and I know what they do. And I know what their students, what their disciples do. They don't do anything to defend them. That is wrong. So I'm going to be a marriage counselor and give it to you in the real. I am not trying to make money. Nor am I trying to make friends at all. Verse 3 says, do not let your adornment, ladies, be merely outward. And then he defines what that outward adornment is. Arranging of the hair. Well, does my hair look good? Am I going to catch him that way? The wearing of gold or putting on a fine apparel. See, Peter was not there condemning all outward adornment, just like I wouldn't condemn it. MacArthur, in his commentary, says that his condemnation is for insistent preoccupation with the outward to the disregard of one's character. That's where Christian women are today. They're so busy trying to make themselves look good when they go to church. Just put something decent and clean on and keep your mouth shut. I try to tell people all the time, especially because they know that I'm a single pastor, that I'm not going to church looking for no woman. Definitely not going to church looking for no woman. I want God to send me the woman he wants to send me. I don't go to church looking for a woman. Let God send me a woman if he wants to send me another one. And I don't think he's been speaking to me very clear about sending me anything like that. He did send me a darn good woman. Now, let me talk to you young men a little bit. Did he give you a good woman? Is she cooking for you? Is she washing your clothes? Is she starching your shirts? Is she keeping the house clean? Does she have the children following after God and following after you and following after her? You got a good woman. Why are you seeking to be loose from her? Something wrong with you dudes. See, I'm playing with it. Well, I don't like the way you talk. You know what? I don't care. There it is. And that's where a pastor ought to talk to people. Pastors should not care whether you like the way he presents it. Now, I'm just presenting the word of God. So God says, ladies, don't try to win them over by that foolishness. Rather, verse 4 says, let it be the hidden person of the heart. This is the disposition or the attitude of the woman in the relationship with the man. The hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty. Look at this. Look at this. And I want you sisters, you black women, to listen to this. Read verse 4. Because I understand some of you black women come here to the side and you don't, well, he don't like women. No, I won't put up with your mess. I will not put up with it. And I feel sorry for some of your husbands that have to live with it for the rest of their lives. Now, I'm going to go through verse 4. But before I get there, let me give you what verse 3 is saying here, that every Christian woman is to concentrate upon developing a chaste and reverent Christ-like character. That is almost unbelievably impossible to find in the church today. And Peter talks about it again in verse 4, and he says, rather let it be, look at this, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Oh, black sisters, listen to this black pastor. You need to stop listening to Juanita Bunyan, Paula Blonde Whitehead, or whatever her name is, because that is corruptible ugliness of a spirit that is hollering out that needs to shut up. I'm just giving you the exegesis of the text, okay, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, God is looking at women and he says, what is he pleased with? Now, I know you may think because a man wrote this that this is a chauvinistic text and that you don't have to abide by it. Yeah, if you're a sinner, you don't. You don't have to. I wouldn't expect you to abide by this if you're not saved. I would expect you to think I'm crazy for even reading it to you. Because the Bible never was written for a bunch of sinners anyhow. It's only written for, you know, written for the called out ones. The one that had been called from the very foundation of the world to live for Jesus. So you see, Pastor John's not trying to, make friends and build up a church. I'm trying to get the folk out of there that said, man, listen, y'all don't know. Almost every other week, somebody comes to me in a marriage and tells me that that whole mess has fallen apart. Somebody lied within that relationship. That's what that is. One of you lied. And if I was your daddy, I swear I'd whip your behind. Why are you lying like that? Why are you doing that to that person? You didn't have to be with them. You didn't have to ruin their lives. A gentle and quiet spirit. Hear the beauty. And this beauty in women never decays, as outward beauty does. See, you're gonna get some wrinkles on your face and some fat around your midrib. Your body's gonna change. Brother, you marry her at 23, 24, she fine. She's shaped like a Coke bottle. Y'all know what I'm talking about. That's gonna all change and dissipate in time. I know because I went walking with Bro Man this morning I still got on my walking shorts and everything, my stomach hanging all over my pants, and I'm saying, oh Lord, I didn't know that it was going to end up like this. Yes, it is. Gentle is actually meek and humble, ladies. Meek and humble. Quiet. That describes the character of her actions and the reaction to her husband and life in general. It is quietness. I didn't say passiveness. I didn't say just a giving over to the man and let him stomp on you. See, because I listened to some of the female cessationists, I guess they've just ceased from having anything to do with any of the writ of a man. When I first started teaching philosophy in college, I would teach it, but now in my latest text by Velasquez, that is, they have a chapter there on feminist philosophy. I guess just like they have parts in books on theology, on feminist theology. There's no feminist theology. And there is no male chauvinist theology. God has said, this is an autocratic society that we live in if you're a biblical. God is the autocrat and we're going to follow it. And it's a theocracy, not a democracy. I know. And some of you guys marry women that believe in their heart of hearts that they are running the relationship and they will never let you forget it. And don't let them make $20 more than you make, brothers. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. And then you have to ask them for some money. Man, I just recently put up with that. I don't need to repeat myself. A woman like that is precious, not only to her husband, but also to God. Now, when a woman is not like that, she is a rebellious wretch. She is not precious to her husband, nor is she precious to God. Basically, she's a hell-bound heathen. And the same thing goes for the men. Peter carries this description in verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 3, and he says, "For in this manner, the former times." Now, what he does is he illustrates. He goes back into the Bible days and said, "Now, y'all want to know how it's supposed to be in Christianity? Well, let's take a quantum leap into the abyss backwards in time." He says, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." In other words, he says, that's the way it was back in the day. This is the way it ought to be today. But I know the way it is in our day and age we live in. Well, no, this is the age of Aquarius, the age of Aquarius. I don't care whether your mama is a Pisces, your daddy is a Froggies, and your cousin is a Bentley-ese. If you do not abide by the biblical book, you're on your way to hell. All right. Do I sound like a fundamentalist? No, that's the way John Coleman says it. See, John Coleman's not trying to make you feel good. Are you a humble woman like that? Now, he quadruples on the illustration in verse 6 by saying, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham." Now, you know, Abraham was foolish too, because there was one or a couple of times when Abraham obeyed Sarah. One time when he obeyed Sarah, and that's why they're still fighting over there in the Middle East today. Because of that Egyptian woman, because of that black woman. When God told Abraham and Sarah that they would have a child, instead of Abraham listening to God and waiting on God, what did he do? What did he do? You tell me what he did. His wife came and said, "Hey, I got this sister over here. She got some fine hips. She been looking at you anyhow. Going into her, maybe God meant that." God ain't no maybe with God. Why was he listening to that stupid wife of his telling him something like that? Reminiscent of Eve with her foolishness. Now, I know some of you feminist males, some of you female chauvinists think that the whole Bible is a male-dominant book because it has stories in there. And they tell you, well, you know, those stories were good in that day and age, but we live in an age of Aquarius. We don't have to listen to that. You know what? You go ahead on with your bad self. You know what? It's going to be some screaming taking place in the afterlife. I was talking with this JW today in front of my house, and he was asking me, what did I know about the afterlife? I'm trying to win the poor guy to reality. I didn't tell him I was a pastor. I told him, I said, what I do, man, is I talk about these things in a forum quite different than you would understand. But I said, I'm not a believer in the sense that most people call themselves believers. I know what I'm talking about. And his wife looked and said, how can you know? I says, I know through a priori experience. They had no idea. Absolutely not. Like some of you have no idea what I just said. I said, because if I were religious, I would know through an a posteriori experience. I don't rely upon a posteriori in order to know about God. I rely upon a priori, something that takes place outside of me, which is indescribable, not clearly definable, but readily knowable only by the recipient of the person that knows it. No woman can live this unless she actually knows this to be true in her heart. when it says holy women in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, that speaks of certain Old Testament saints, particularly Sarah in verse 6, are models of inner beauty, character, modesty, and submissiveness to their husbands. Now, I know this isn't like me, going off on hour number 15, but before I get into some of the most common mistakes that women make, I think that it's important for us to look at Proverbs chapter 31, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 31, since some people accuse me of not using enough scripture. Well, why doesn't Pastor John use scripture? Because you got a Bible in front of you. You're not going to obey it. Now, you want to know what your woman's supposed to be like, brothers? She's supposed to be like this. Who can find a virtuous wife? Of course, the preacher's being rhetorical when he asked the question. There has always been a few out there in history. He says, for her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband